This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He's a poet.
Rich Eisen.
My God, he is so funny. He is a brilliant, brilliant creator. But you know, he is also so serious. He's in charge of every detail.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Dodgers catcher Will Smith. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chats in hour number 1 with Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. And let's be honest, a catcher who might be on a path for such a thing with 3 rings and back-to-back All-Stars, three straight seasons as an All-Star, age 30, Will Smith of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
He's on the path.
Went down a little wormhole of one of the best World Series ever just last hour. If you missed any of it, there's our podcast, all 3 hours. There's also our Disney Plus page where you can watch us back whenever you want. Skip the first 10 seconds of the show because I had my mic muted and didn't know how to unmute it. Not my finest moment. But that's what happened.
Scared the hell out of me.
I know it did. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good fun stuff here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hour number 3 kicks off with our friend from Pro Football Talk, ladies and gentlemen, the author himself as well. The Big Shield is a book that you can get where all books are sold, certainly in time for it to be a stocking stuffer. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Florio. Good to see you, Mike. How are you?
Hey. I think it would take a stocking. You could curl it up, I guess, like a newspaper, but
you know,
it'll fit. It'll work.
And that's not a metaphor for anything.
No.
All right. Let's, by the way, we'll talk a little bit more about your book. Hello, by the way. Good to see you.
Hi.
You?
Yeah, been a while.
It has.
I thought of you last week. I said, am I back on the pay no mind list? And I wondered if it had anything to do with some of the criticism I've directed to your corporate overlords in recent weeks for reasons that have now been fully and completely resolved to the satisfaction of millions of consumers.
How many years do we have to know each other, Mike? How many years do we have to know each other for you to know what you say about the National Football League doesn't affect our relationship one single bit?
Well, you've got a different corporate overlord now.
Ah.
You've got 2 of them.
Oh.
I was referring to the other one.
Oh. Oh, okay.
The other one that wasn't able to watch for a couple of weeks.
Oh.
That one.
Oh, that one. I don't know what you're talking about. That thing's over, right? I mean, I'm checking my watch. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, but no, of course not. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
What is the story entering week 12? Of the season-long storyline arc, and then we'll get to a week 12 story that intrigues you. But give me the first dozen weeks story of the season, Mike.
Well, I mean, the subtext is what it always is. No matter how much we think we have things figured out, we realize one week at a time, sometimes one game at a time, that we don't. But it feels, despite the existence of several 2-loss teams and some 3-loss teams, it feels like things are wide open. And it feels like this rush to the postseason where some of these teams with inflated records are going to have more difficult schedules. For example, the Bears, they've got some tough games coming up. It feels wide open, and it feels like the chase for the playoffs will be very compelling. Those last few spots in the postseason field, and maybe one of those teams that just sneaks in is going to get hot in January like the Chiefs may. And just this idea that it could be a very entertaining and wide open and anything can happen playoff tournament this year with no preordained favorite. Although with the Eagles defense looking better and better all the time, it may not matter that their offense continues to sputter.
Yeah. And the AFC, I think for the lack of a better word, personifies your point here. You know, other outlets might have the teams on the outside looking in the hunt. We have it sniffing it here on the Rich Eisen Show, just to show you our level of maturity. But the 3 teams currently in the sniffing it category, 8, 9, and 10, are the teams that have won the AFC South, AFC West, and AFC North more often than not over the last few years. And the 2-loss teams are teams that have most definitely not. Colts, Patriots are the AFC East leaders right now. One loss above the Bills, but really 1.5 games. And there's the Broncos. So I guess that's to your point here is as to how wide open it is. But of the Texans, Chiefs, and Ravens, who do you think has the best chance to make the run that we're all accustomed to seeing from them?
Well, by the way, I approve fully of the sniffing it moniker, despite the fact that it does call into question the age-old axiom, whoever smelled it, dealt it.
Correct.
But I think the Ravens would probably be the most likely just because they have one path. And that path, as a practical matter, I guess there's a way they can pull an inside straight and get a wild card berth. Mm. I think for them, it's chase down the Steelers. And they play the Steelers twice in the final weeks of the season. So they will have opportunities. And the Steelers' schedule gets more difficult down the stretch. And we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to miss time. And if he does, if he misses 1 week, how many weeks is he going to miss? If that broken wrist keeps him from playing Sunday, well, won't it also keep him from playing the next Sunday until that bone heals, however many weeks it takes to get him to a point where he can check all the boxes that Mike Tomlin articulated yesterday? So I think the Ravens, just because they're one game behind the Steelers and they play them twice, and we know that that rivalry is compelling, but the Ravens have had the better of it lately. I think the Ravens have the best chance because they can still win their division. The others are going to have a harder climb to get there.
Well, you just touched upon one of the Week 12 stories and something that I'm sure Rodgers had circled when the schedule came out as is what we believe. And I'm sure he deep down believes is his final visit to Soldier Field as an active player. I just can't imagine that there isn't some form of a cast that can protect him as well as give him the ability to hold on to the football and grip it when he needs to, potentially to use that hand, or certainly when he's got both hands on it and getting hit by a Bears defense to hold on to the football. I can't imagine that he doesn't play in this game.
Mike, we've seen quarterbacks play. Yeah, we've seen them play with an injured non-throwing hand. Now, it does change maybe the way they hand off. It changes maybe there's more shotgun and less receiving of snaps under center. But, you know, the key is, and this is a point Mike Tomlin made yesterday, if you fall down and you go to brace yourself and that left wrist hand area takes your weight, and that's how the injury happened in the first place. He was knocked backward, falling down with other guys on top of him. What's going to happen there, and is it going to be worse? What's the risk of something more significant that would knock him out maybe for the balance of the season? And then there's the question of the gap between Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph. Some would say that maybe it's not as big of a gap based upon Rodgers' performance so far this year. And Rudolph came in, went 12 for 16, 127 yards and a touchdown in the second half against the Bengals on Sunday. And he's a guy that they supposedly were comfortable with. We don't know whether that was just bluster, but he was solid late in the 2023 season when they did the soft benching of Kenny Pickett, and he wanted too much in free agency. You know, he got paid more by the Titans last year than the Steelers paid to Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Kyle Allen combined. So he's back this year. He's played a lot of football for the Steelers, and I think it doesn't change the Steelers' overall vibe dramatically if they go Rodgers to Rudolph. But Rodgers is going to want to play. We reported on Sunday night he was trying to get back in the game on Sunday. Tomlin essentially confirmed that yesterday. He's going to want to play. And if he's got the final say, he's going to play. He's going to have to be talked out of it. But again, if it's bad enough to get him to stand down this week, how many weeks beyond that until it's safe for him to play without risk of a serious re-injury?
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show, Pro Football Talk. Obviously, there's his legion of shows on Peacock, as well as a book for you to buy called The Big Shield. We'll get to that before I let you go. Speaking of letting go, five coaches every year, at least since 2015, have been fired. We're already at two. Give me the names of guys or teams that you think are on the precipice to add to the list of the Titans and the Giants over the final few weeks of this season, Mike Florio.
And this exercise, Rich, it always makes me uncomfortable because
I'm with you.
People's lives. It affects families.
Yes, sir.
It affects other coaches. But the most appropriate quote, and Jonathan Gannon, the Cardinals coach who's now on the hot seat, he used a version of it on Monday when he was asked about it. This is Hyman Roth to Michael Corleone in Godfather 2. This is the business we've chosen. And every time a coach is hired by an NFL team, it is just a matter of time, with rare exceptions, before he's fired by that NFL team. That's the way it works. And I did something on Sunday while I was watching your excellent pregame show on NFL Network Game Day Morning. I did a broad brush, like approaching it as a fan. If I'm a fan and I'm just looking at the league right now, which teams are the ones that I'm keeping an eye on the final 8 weeks of the season? And there are 15 teams that I identified. Every coach in the AFC North, depending upon what happens the rest of the way, may be in some degree of danger, grave or otherwise. But Gannon, with two ugly losses the past couple of weeks, I think he's getting close. And we know that they don't need WD-40 on the revolving door at Arizona's headquarters. They fire coaches all the time. They've been around more than 100 years, and they've never had a coach for longer than 6 years, and he's in year three. So that's one that I'm watching very carefully. And, you know, beyond that, what are the Browns going to do? What are they ever going to do? Did Paul DePodesta recently leave on his own, or did he feel that the door is going to close on him? Will they clean house there in Cleveland? Will Mike McDaniel stick around in Miami? They've won a couple of games. Will that help him? What's a new GM want to do? And, you know, I look at, Rich, and I hate to put this out into the universe, but I think it's malpractice for us as analysts and reporters to ignore this. When you have Josh Allen still in his prime, how many years of his prime does he have left? If they don't win the division, if they get a wild card berth and they're one and done, at what point does ownership take a hard look at why? Why aren't we getting more out of Josh Allen? Is it an issue of talent, which would tend to point toward GM Brandon Bean? Is it an issue of coaching, which would point toward Coach Sean McDermott? Is it both? Is it neither? But at some point, you just wonder whether or not that conversation is going to be had within the building. And then you look at the Falcons with Michael Penix now out for the year and Kirk Cousins playing again. And I think we'll all be reminded of why they shouldn't have given him $90 million guaranteed over 2 years. I think there's a potential for a full house cleaning in Atlanta as well. But there's a lot of different spots. If you look at the entire league, there's a lot of spots where if things go off the rails the rest of the way, we could see, and they used to call it Black Monday. Hell, it happens the day of the final games of the season. Gerard Mayo got the tap on the shoulder in the locker room, for crying out loud, after week 18 last year in his one-and-done season with the Patriots.
So a couple follow-up questions. The first one, just for me here, because we have this drop at our disposal
this
all the time.
Is the business we've chosen.
We have it. Did Jonathan Gannon really reference Hyman Roth, or you're just using that?
He didn't reference Hyman Roth, but he used a version of that line.
Okay, good. All right.
This is the job we take, or something like that. But it was the same idea. And he said, we joke about it. And my response was, don't joke about it. It's real. And this is why it's incumbent, as we now start to wonder who the next wave of coaches will be. There are certain jobs where you have to go in with your eyes open, that the clock is ticking the moment you get there. The moment you walk through the door, Mona Lisa Vito is stomping on the wooden front porch. You don't get a grace period because the owner is going to be quick to make a change. And, you know, there are dysfunctional teams, and dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. But too many coaches think, and this is, I think, a product of their success and its confidence that borders on delusion, that sometimes becomes hubris. I can be the guy to make it different. But you don't have a whole lot of time to do it. If you don't win right away, I mean, look at Dan Campbell in Detroit. If they didn't turn it around the second half of the 2022 season, how much longer would he have lasted with the Lions? They flipped the switch. And in hindsight, it was good they did, because they were on the front end of what's now a consistent contender. But it did not go well the first year and a half for Dan Campbell. So that's the next question. Where are the coaches going to come from, and who's going to want jobs with the teams that you should objectively look at and say, why would I want that job?
Well, I mean, the Giants job is one that I think I'd be all over, right? I mean, they don't want to one and done anybody again, or two and done anybody again. They're going to keep the general manager. So, you know, the one thing is, you know, you can't bring your own person in that regard. But Jackson Dart clearly is it. Scataboo is just a bunch of fun, and he's really good. And at some point, Malik Nabers is going to come back. You got to like the bones that are there, right? And so who do you think the Giants would go college? I mean, Lane Kiffin has everything happening in his favor right now. Florida's falling all over him. LSU's falling all over him. I guess the governor of Louisiana said he had a 2-hour chat with Lane, who says it's not true that he's gotten an ultimatum from Ole Miss to get an answer by the end of this month. And the timing, unfortunately, doesn't line up for a pro job. But why wouldn't the Giants at least want to even kick a tire on let's get the college coach of Jackson Dart in here and give him another shot at the NFL, Mike?
And I'm not doubting the accuracy of the report that there was an ultimatum, but what would the or else be? Like, we want an answer by November 28, or what? We're going to send you home without dinner? Like, what could they even do? It's laughable. But it just shows you how the college system has kind of gone off the rails, where you can poach coaches, not just after each season, but during the season, and undermine the efforts of a team to try to finish strong when they've had the kind of season that makes the coach attractive. If I'm the Giants, here's what I would do. And all Giants fans should be very happy that I'm not the one making these decisions. But I think that you desperately need an offensive coach who will join at the hip with Jackson Dart and develop him to his fullest. And the flip side is, if you get a defensive coach and things go well offensively, the offensive coordinator becomes a head coach somewhere else, and you got to go find somebody else to right. continue the career arc of Jackson Dart. So I think an established coach with NFL head coaching experience who is an offensive expert would make a ton of sense. You mentioned that the GM is going to stay put. That becomes a factor because Joe Shane is going to shy away from somebody who may want to come in and take over. That's a reality. We see that every year. There are coaches who have options, and they use that to create leverage, and they dictate the terms to teams that want them.
Okay. Mike Florio here. Well, Mike Del Tufo just hit the wrong button. All good. But
I wonder what that was. I thought
Dick
it was
Vitale. It's a drop of Dick Vitale saying that I'm awesome, which, by the way, is I can't confirm. In the few minutes I have left with you, Mike Florio, the team or situation that the rest of your sources or everyone that blows your phone up to talk ball is interested in right now, entering week 12, what team leads that pack, Mike?
I think the Eagles offense continues to be one of the both most overblown and underblown stories in the NFL, if that's possible, because a lot of people are talking about it, but not enough people are talking about it. And not enough people are really getting down to the root cause. It isn't just AJ Brown being a diva, because he's not. We were talking about this today on PFT Live. He is sufficiently selfless that he is willing to come off as selfish by speaking out, because we will react to someone like AJ Brown thinking he just wants more targets. He wants more catches. He wants more yards. He wants more touchdowns. No, he wants the offense to be better. And his point is, you can't just say everything's fine because we win the game. At some point, the defense isn't going to bail us out. Special teams isn't going to bail us out. We need to gain yards and score points if we want to win games when they matter most. And there's this tension that continues to be unexplored, and I credit the Eagles for concealing it as well as they have. There's something going on between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Brandon Graham said so last year before they gave him a mop and a bucket and said, go clean up that mess that you made, by saying there are personal issues between the two of them. But you've got Brown saying winning isn't enough. You've got Hurts saying winning is enough. And you've got situations where A.J. Brown is open and he's not getting the football. And they forced it to him some the other night. And, Rich, this was something Chris Sims pointed out on Monday, and it makes a ton of sense. The Lions going for it on fourth down five times. Sunday night was the night to punt. Sunday night was the night to kick off. Sunday night was the night to force the Eagles to show that they're functional on offense. You don't need to have, as Troy Aikman would say, big onions if you're the Lions. You just need to keep putting the ball back in the hands of a team whose offense is struggling, and they're playing in front of their home fans, and they would have been ready to let them hear it on Sunday night. So they won the game, and the defense is looking dominant, but I think that offense is something that we need to continue to watch. Remember how it went 2 years ago? They were 10-1 and the wheels came off. What's going to happen the rest of the way for the Eagles? That one is very compelling, and there's a lot of people around the league chattering about that.
Mike Florio. Okay. And the Cowboys up next, and they look pretty good. I don't care that the Raiders are not performing well. Offensively, they looked as stout as ever, man, and a problem running and throwing. And with Quinnen Williams and DeMarvian Overshown, that strengthens a front seven that gets that back end of the defense a little bit shored up. They looked like a different team, and I can't wait to see the first, you know, real test, if you will, against the Eagles coming up this weekend. Oh. That's great.
And, hey, the Cowboys offensive line can block the pass rushers for Philadelphia can buy enough time for Dak Prescott to get the ball to George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. And if the Cowboys score early, and that's how it goes at home. A couple of years ago when the Cowboys were undefeated at home until they faced the Packers in the playoffs, you score early, you put pressure on the other team. And the defense does just enough. You get the ball back, you score again. And then you get into a setting where you can just go rush the passer. Now, they don't have Michael Parsons to do it, but Quinnen Williams really made a difference. And I don't think this is an easy game at all for the Eagles. And then they turn around and they host the Bears on Black Friday, and the Bears are a problem all of a sudden. So the Eagles are going to have their work cut out for them if they want to get back to the Super Bowl and win it.
Speaking of what happens in Vegas not staying there, the Big Shield. You like that?
I like it very much.
Big Shield, everybody. Tell everybody where they can get this and just in time for the holidays. Mike?
And I'm amazed I've yet to get a cease and desist letter either from the city of Las Vegas for misappropriating the sign or from the National Football League or, as it stands, Rich, the NBA or Major League Baseball, because there are multiple athletes who are being managed by this mobster type who is headquartered in Las Vegas. But it's a lot of the stuff that we've since learned about. The Terry Rozier allegations, there's a character named Jimmy King in Big Shield who is doing exactly what Terry Rozier allegedly was doing. And the whole goal is to create a cautionary tale. You know, these leagues can send out memos and wag fingers at players about what they should and shouldn't do. But if any of them read it, and we are in very early stages of trying to develop it to be a series, and the production companies are nervous because the sports leagues may not like it. They should ask the sports leagues. I know from talking to some of the people in and around the NFL, they see the value in an educational tool that is far better than a memo. You see it play out. You see what the risks are. You see what happens to the characters you become attached to when they chase easy money. There is no such thing as easy money, and Big Shield tries to display that through this combination of the mob, gambling, and a professional football league that is officially not the National Football League, but for the couple of spots where I accidentally referred to it as the NFL in the book.
Mike Florio saying, don't sue me, not for the first time probably in his life. Right here.
I want them to. No, Rich, I want them to.
You want Discovery? It raises book sales?
I want the boost. I mentioned this to Dan back in September when Only the Good Die Young, the Billy Joel song, was out, and the Catholic Church had a big fit about it. He sent them a letter saying, will you please do that to all my songs?
That's right. That's right. I saw the documentary. It was awesome. And I guess this is like we've got a drop for that. You mentioned Mona Lisa Vito earlier in the show.
I learned a lot from Mona Lisa Vito.
That's not Joe Pesci.
No,
that's Herman Munster. That's Bill Belichick. I didn't get it at first.
That's Bill Belichick, man. Mona Lisa Vito and all of that stuff. Okay. Thanks again, Mike.
By the way, the ebook's 99 cents on Amazon.
Fantastic.
99 cents. And it's only $14.99 for this very useful thing that can come in handy. You know, like if someone spits on you and you do what comes natural, you can just give them a whack with this and protect your knuckles.
Oh, if only Jalen Ramsey had a copy of Big Shield instead of his own hand.
I've been trying to get one to A.J. Brown to read on the sidelines. We're in Philly. I was going to take one and slip it to Big Dog.
You should have done that. He sometimes needs the reading material. Take care of yourself, Mike. Thanks, bud.
All right, see you, buddy.
Mike Florio, creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. All right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. O'Shea Jackson Jr. in the building. I believe he is in the building, which means this will be fun. I think he's going to finish the show with us. 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you want to chat with O'Shea Jr. as well. No Contest Wrestling also ahead.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We had Will Smith on this program in hour number two, and radio audience, you didn't hear this, but we had Will QC, Michael Del Tufo's Yankee/Dodger hat, and he was outraged by it, as somebody as cool as a cucumber could be about it. And it's only fair, speaking of fair weather, Dodger fans, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Oh.
Hello, friends.
How dare they?
See him. I know.
Back here in the Rich Eisen Show.
Disrespectful.
Don't you think that's a proper way to introduce O'Shea Jackson Jr.?
God,
Christopher?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
TJ,
you've gotten to know O'Shea Jr. very well.
A little bit.
Would you think that's an appropriate way to introduce
him? A bandwagon Dodgers fan.
Bandwagon is crazy.
He's all things L.A.
That's true.
I got to give him that. So even though the Dodgers weren't at the forefront of his fandom, I'll call him a bandwagon when it's just he and I, but I can't throw him under the
bus. That's my dog right there. Tag team partner, best in the world, TJ
Jefferson.
That's
embarrassing, TJ. You should be embarrassed for that.
Why? That's my partner right there.
Is this what you refer to when you call the Rich Eisen Show a hostile work environment?
Absolutely. I came in here bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, in my nice jacket.
I love that jacket.
But then, you guys came in here bashing me already, especially after it seems like LeBron James fit pretty well in that Laker team.
Well, he did. O'Shea Jackson Jr., I shouldn't question your Los Angeles credentials.
No.
Especially since you're wearing a winter coat because the temperatures drop below 62 degrees.
Disgusting. So, have you seen outside?
It was a little chilly.
Hold on. It was 42 in the valley this morning. It was really cold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I almost needed an ice scraper.
Really?
Wow.
To get to work today.
Maybe not. I did use the seat warmer.
Yeah, come on, man. You can do a little hyperbole. Yeah. You know, we're in entertainment.
Trying, yeah.
Hey, listen. I finished the first hour of the show. I know you didn't hear it because you're probably still sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Wow. By the way, thanks for that text. That text in the moment was like, there's no way Rich hit me right now. That was incredible. Wow.
I had a LeBron appreciation segment on this program.
Y'all done came up around here.
Much to the
chagrin,
dismay of Chris Brockman, who didn't want to join in. But we will never see a guy tip off a 23rd NBA season of a career with the credentials that LeBron has and the ability to continue to play basketball at a very high level. We just won't see it again.
And on the Lakers.
Okay.
The key part.
What do you mean? You guys trade for every superstar, you know, later in their career. So, yeah, I'm sure we will see this again.
No, may I correct you? Whoa. The Lakers don't trade for every superstar. Whoa. Other teams give them their superstar.
Just like the Dodgers.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other teams, like, get Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
These are not the all-time greats you want to keep anymore.
Please.
You should just trade them to the Lakers in one of the worst pocket trades of all time.
Don't you know like the beach?
You like that? That was my Alec Guinness impersonation.
It's really bad.
I thought he was in the room.
See what happens when I agree with your point of view? As soon as I got to agree with your point of view once, and then all of a sudden, look at us.
Beautiful show. Look at us.
It's such a hostile work environment.
It's a Michigan man right there.
11-4. And in game one, there's no question. I guess if I told you last night going into this game against the Utah Jazz, the conversation would be the ones that we're having right now, or LeBron, the Lakers weren't ready for him, that he's only screwed up their 10-4 start. Now they're 10-5. Instead of he double doubles, Luka gets 37-10, Reeves gets 26, Ayton's alley ooping.
Yeah.
And they score .140. That's a what's more likely for you, Chris. What would you say?
It's November.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know how much dread you tried to give me the last time I was here? And now I get the victory, and it's November. This is such a Chris thing to do. You give me gingivitis.
Ah! I mean, I got to be consistent.
That's true. It's his brand. Yeah, it's his brand.
I'm here to pour cold water on it. I mean, it was against the Jazz.
Seven of the players were not born yet. You don't have to pour.
You know, so
you don't have to.
They
call.
Can't rent a car.
You don't have
so,
to pour.
I mean, let's
you don't
just
have to
calm down.
You don't have to pour cold water on it because the Oklahoma City Thunder might do that for you.
I mean, yes, the Thunder, the defending champs, are supposed to be that way. But I was told that this is not going to work. And granted, LeBron still has to, you know, get acclimated. The nucleus, Rich, remember, the nucleus. So he looked pretty good, man. Super efficient, 12 dimes, beautiful dimes as well. It's looking pretty exciting in Los Angeles in every sports venture that I look at right now. It's a good time to be a Los Angelina.
What other ventures are you looking at?
I mean, my Rams are great.
Your Rams.
The Kings are hot.
Yeah.
Go Kings, go.
Can you name
and
all
like,
King?
Man, the Dodgers are back-to-back World Series champions. It's incredible out here. The city looks amazing. We got rain.
Yeah,
life is good.
It's cold.
He can name a king. It's King James.
First of all,
that's the king you can name.
I was there for both Stanley Cups. My first event I ever went to at Staples Center was to see Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake in the Kings. Go Kings.
It's just a guy who's in statue form.
Name one Byfield, our former number two pick overall. Other than
Kopitar on the Kings right now.
Quentin Byfield. What did QB? He was the number two pick in the draft a couple years ago. What are we talking about, dog? Black man playing hockey out here. Woo!
Woo! I'm giving you a Rick Flair right there. Woo!
Wednesday, baby.
I love it.
That's true. Okay, great.
That is my favorite part of the show today. That was great.
Yeah.
He nailed you.
Come on, bro. They try to play with my Los Angelesness, y'all. I'm out here.
Chris just got a misconduct for high sticking right there, man. You're being sent off.
I take it all back. LeBron's so great.
You thought he would do the SNL skit, right? Let's do that hockey. Let's do that hockey. You thought he was going in that direction.
Go Kings, go, bro.
All right, in the Rams, your Rams. What about your Chargers? Are you disowning them because they lost to Jacksonville by 29?
In 2016, I completely disowned the Chargers.
Why?
Because when it was the decision between Raiders, Rams, and Chargers, I said, first to move to L.A., I'm giving my all to. The Rams came first, and I had to cheer for Jeff Fisher. But I still cheered for him. I still went hard. And, bro, Laura Amelia. I'm Rams all day. I will be seeing them against the Buccaneers.
I tell that story all the time. I did the Thursday night football pregame, postgame for NFL Network from Seattle the week after Jeff Fisher got fired. Mm. They went up there with an interim head coach, Bones Fossil. The special teams coach was named the interim. Jared Goff, I think, had his first career road start and got destroyed. I mean, absolutely blown up. The Seahawks pounded the Rams. I was on that flight home because they were kind enough to give me a lift so I could do this show the next day. Mm. And it was a morgue on that flight. And not a single soul knew that they were just a few weeks away from making a massive hire at head coach that would now make them a standard to be followed in the National Football League in terms of how to run an organization.
Yeah.
And that's how things can quickly change. And now the Rams just beat the Seahawks, and they're arguably the best team in football right now.
Yeah. It's a pretty good argument right now.
I know. It's kind of crazy how these things all go down. All right. So
thank you, Big Dave.
So you got to feel you're feeling good about your Lakers, and you should. They're 11-4.
Yeah.
Your concern has to be the Oklahoma City Thunder at the end of the day.
I mean, whose is it? You know, they are. When you think of young teams, you don't think about the type of force that the Thunder have turned out to be defensively, the way that they play together, whether or not the best players are on the court. It's a monster over there. But, you know, you got to let the whole season play out. It's one thing that you're not going to win the championship on paper. And like Chris said, you're not going to win it in November for sure. But the Thunder are formidable. But I'm a Laker. I fear no one.
Jokic is balling out. Wemby's hurt, unfortunately, for the moment. It's a long season.
Wasn't it a Nugget? No. It was a Warrior that took him out, right? If somebody on the Warriors took out Wemby's knees, what was that? Did anybody remember the player that fell into Wemby's knees?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was Draymond just standing there.
Is this thing on? You got to watch those Warriors,
too. All right. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here. 844-204-RICH, number dial. We'll take a phone call. We'll set up no contest wrestling. When we return right here on the Rich Eisen Show, the stars were out in Madison Square Garden on Monday night for Raw. That is for sure. We'll hit on all that when we return here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
So then my little brother, Sharif, the strong ox that he is, picks up Larry, puts him in the back of my parents' truck. And then we sat and we didn't really want to evacuate yet. Mm. So we stayed up all night watching the fires, taking shifts, making sure, you know, before we leave the house that we all grew up in. And we did that for 2 days. And then on the third day, we realized, oh, my God, Larry. And I just know that poor tortoise was in the trunk for 2 days. Like, what did I do? Am I in trouble? dead.
This is the worst remake of Home Alone I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was about to be Home Down. Has there ever been,
by the way, O'Shea Jackson Jr. and our radio audience rejoined in the middle of all that. So has there ever been an idea forwarded, like keeping up with the cubes?
Oh, no.
Has anybody ever come to your family and said, we want to do a reality show?
For sure.
Has it ever been considered?
No. My dad
didn't. Dead on arrival?
My dad didn't even do Cribs. Yeah, he would never. Like, the idea of cameras following or, like, having situational-based activities for us would just irk my family to the core. No way. It's just not us. We're very private.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Larry the Tortoise is strolling around.
Right.
The cube lawn. Until
the book comes out.
The holidays sound better with Sonos speakers, people. Whether it's a movie night that feels larger than life or the roar of the crowd as your team takes the field, Sonos helps create the moments you'll remember. Beautiful design, incredible sound, effortless control means you can focus on what matters most, enjoying the season. I love Sonos. It's in my house. You will as well. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with incredible sound. Explore Sonos speakers, soundbars, and more at Sonos.com. The Raiders have quite the game coming up this week. Don't laugh all you want. I'm sure your dad's not.
I know.
I'm sure it's not very funny in your dad's role right now with the Raiders looking the way that they look. And now here comes Shedeur Sanders with the Browns.
Yeah, so right.
This is going to be fascinating. A week 12 game between two win teams that you're not thinking about, but it's the truth in week 12. I'll be watching. Shedeur Sanders met with the media for the first time as a starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns prior to a regular season game. And he's getting the first team reps for the first time since the summer. Hit it.
Yeah, I'm truly excited for that, knowing that, you know, I have a piece of offense and a say-so and how things fit my eye and place the players exactly where they need to be, seeing how they come in and out of routes, seeing the structure of the O-linemen, seeing they set, seeing, just having a feeling. Like, I'm more of a feel type of person, so that's how I learn, that's how I do everything. I'm gonna just watch it, it's just gonna happen. No, like, I gotta be out there, feel it. I gotta move around. It's like so many details that it takes for me, you know, to feel my best and play my best. And I'm doing everything in my power, and the team's doing everything, you know, to help me get prepared.
That's the humility you're looking for, right? That a lot of people don't ascribe to him, even though I do believe it's his default in situations like this. Okay. Next up, message for Browns fans. What's the message for Browns fans he has? I can't wait to hear this one.
You know, our fans have a lot of expectations and hope. And I would be doing a disservice to myself and disservice to the organization if I didn't feel like I am the guy. I did everything I need to. I'm doing everything I need to prepare to be the best version of myself as possible. With the circumstances, everything got to be sped up, and that's great. You know, I like pressure in life. I'm just excited for everything. So, you know, I feel like I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy, but, you know, you just have to be able to see. The game got to speak.
Game's got to speak.
Give me a jersey right now.
You like it?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Focus. Knows what to say, and he's just as excited as we probably are to see him get out there. And he's got to get the feel. He's right. It's not, you know, he's not preparing everybody for some Super Saiyan performance. It's an anime reference for people listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's I'm rooting for him, obviously, because I mean, Nepo Baby's up by a billion. Bitch.
Nepo Baby's
rooting
for Nepo
of Day Baby.
What are you saying?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're not a Nepo Baby.
Ask the internet.
He definitely is.
Good one.
Yeah.
I'm just rooting for him because I understand the last name puts a spotlight on him. Heavy. But I don't think this is he's a stranger to it. Obviously, no. He's been living his whole life this way. And a lot of people ascribe to him what they ascribe to Deion, which is just all about flash and not about preparation and not about being a professional. And he has a chance to prove everybody wrong. You know, he's got a chance to prove everybody wrong, and he's got his opportunity. You know, a lot of folks are wondering, will he get his opportunity? Well, it's here. And it doesn't matter if it's due to injury. Just ask Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, It doesn't matter how you're going to get it. And as I said in, earlier in the show, it doesn't matter what's happened before now. It doesn't matter if you think the Browns were sabotaging him, as Cam Newton was saying, or he was saying that the Browns didn't believe in him, which is what I think is what has been the case. It's not a sabotage situation. I just think that they thought that the other guy that they drafted is a better prospect. Obviously, they drafted him before.
Right.
But push comes to shove, doesn't matter now. Yeah. Absolutely doesn't matter. This weekend matters. And then if he performs well, then we'll see what happens next. And I'm here for the ride.
Right? Absolutely.
I'm here for the ride.
And what I really like about his words is because of the last name, because of everybody and having their own thought of what type of person he's going to be because of his father, I know well enough about that. The best thing to do is make them think like they know what's going to happen and then shock the world. You got to under-promise and over-deliver, and you'll kill every time.
I love that. Great information. And plus, say yes if they're ever going to ask him to play Dion in a movie about him.
100%.
Right? Okay.
Take it every time.
Another interesting aspect of this game, the Raiders just activated Aiden O'Connell off injured reserve.
Well, first of all, if he's ready, sounds great. Secondly, they didn't believe in him enough to bring Kenny Pickett on to begin with, right? Or that I shouldn't say that. How about this? This is the way I'll go with this one. If Myles Garrett's coming to town, you better have a full complement of quarterbacks at the ready.
True.
With this offensive line not being able to protect
him. Yeah, I think that's true.
You know,
100%.
Go ahead.
I bet we see him on Sunday.
Go ahead and activate Rich Gannon, too, if he's available. Let's keep going.
Sure.
You know,
Is Jamarcus around somewhere? Let's get him.
I mean, there are other choices, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
man. Myles Garrett's coming to town. Keep replenishing. So I don't know, or they'll give him a shot. Wouldn't that be amazing if Aiden O'Connell goes against Shedeur Sanders while Kenny Pickett watches?
I mean,
stranger things have happened in the National Football League.
Exactly.
But either way, this is all must-see, you know. Are there any other Nepo babies you can come? Bronny James, right?
Who else? Shout out to number 9.
Should we do like a O'Shea Jr. comments on Nepo babies segment?
Top 10 Nepo babies.
Please, I'll be here.
You can't choose Charlie Woods in that, right?
Technically not yet.
I'm taking him.
Who else?
Oh, you should definitely take him.
I'm drafting him.
You should definitely.
Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, The Rock.
It's a Nepo baby draft now.
We could just do wrestlers.
Marvin Harrison Jr. I can
do wrestlers alone.
Okay.
I'll take Vince.
Wow.
Wrestlers alone, dude.
This guy over here.
Yeah, man.
You're going. So versatile.
Yeah, I know.
Let's get him coming on, talking about LeBron and Nepo babies.
Shay, yesterday we were talking about Scataboo at Raw, and Rich was like, he shouldn't do that. And I'm like, this is John Cena's last garden.
Well, we'll talk about that in the TV-only segment because we're out of time here on this radio simulcast here on the Rich Eisen Show. No Contest Wrestling with TJ and O'Shea coming up for your ear gate and, of course, on our YouTube channel. We'll wrap this up on Disney Plus and ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.